Praise the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 21 to 27. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, reflecting on the mystery of the cross, we came to meditate on Jesus' call to discipleship. Discipleship is a following the suffering Son of Man on the way to cross, carrying one's own cross, sharing the dream of the Son of Man, the dream of the kingdom of God, and being ready to pay the price for that kingdom, the realization of that kingdom on this earth. Now you would like to reflect on how did the disciples respond. We have already seen that they did not really understand what Jesus meant, and they were always asking for the first place in the kingdom. They were thinking of a triumphal kingdom, the messianic king establishing his kingdom of David or Solomon on this earth, and to be the very important chief persons in that kingdom. And that temptation persisted to the end. And some of the disciples really fell victim to that temptation. Today, we would like to reflect on one person, Judas, called to be an apostle, specially chosen by Jesus, kept with him, to be with him to the end, one of the 12, an apostle turned traitor. The accounts of the Gospels are very clear about this person. He was one of the 12, Judas Iscariot. All the lists of the apostles, the 12, include Judas also. He was one among them. And he was one of the chief apostles. Jesus trusted him specially with the funds of the community. He was the man who was the treasurer, so to say, who has to keep the account and the funds. Whatever little donations, contributions they received, Judas had to handle it. So he was the only person entrusted with such funds, and he was doing it. But then, he is an intriguing character. Why did he turn traitor? Why did he follow Jesus after all? Or why did Jesus call this person? All the Gospels say that he betrayed Jesus and he handed Jesus over to the religious authorities for a pay. And some reasons are also given. The reason given is that of greed, because he loved money and he made money even selling his master, it would seem. But is that simple? At the end, we know he threw away the money in the temple. He repented of having betrayed his master and he confessed that sin to the chief priest of the temple. And finally, he went and hanged himself. An apostle who sold his master, repented, confessed his sins, made restitution, paid the money back, and finally ended his life. A very tragic life indeed. A tragic life for the apostle. This apostle Judas is very often presented also as a hero of modern time. Judas as a counter-hero, so to say. A Judas who represented some other values. Judas who betrayed Jesus as if it was his necessity, his duty. And it is also argued, if Jesus was not betrayed by Judas, Jesus would not have been crucified. And if Jesus did not die on the cross, the redemption of the world would not have been possible. So ultimately, Judas is also the redeemer figure, so to say. A very vitiated figure indeed. So some would say Jesus is not the real hero, Judas is the hero. So who is this Judas? And what does the gospel tell us about him? And what is the lesson we can learn from Judas? The first thing, we hear that Judas is called Iscariot. Who is this Iscariot? It can mean Iscariot. Cariot, the man from Cariot, the village Cariot. As if Peter is from Capernaum, Judas is from Cariot. Well and good, that is the possibility. A man from Cariot. But there is another possibility for the etymology of this word. Iscariot can come from word the sicar or sicari, a dagger man, the person who carried a dagger, and these persons were called sicari, another name for the zealots, the revolutionaries, the guerrillas, who had vowed themselves to fight unto death to throw the Romans out of the country. This movement started in AD 6 in Galilee, specifically in Sepphoris, the then capital of Galilee. It was Judas, called the Galilean, who started this movement, robbing or storming the armory of Herod Antipas and taking all the weapons to fight against the Romans. So this movement was put out immediately by the Romans, but then it went on. And by the time of Jesus' public life, they were very powerful, a guerrilla movement, very powerful in Galilee. At least one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the 12, is called a zealot, Simon the Zealot. And we have already seen that at least some of the disciples of Jesus were carrying sword. At the Last Supper, when Jesus was telling about the impending danger and the death of Jesus, he was asking the disciples, if you have no sword, sell your tunic and buy a sword. And one of the disciples said, Master, we have here two. So the disciples were carrying swords. And it would seem that many of the disciples had sympathies with the zealots. If not, they were really zealots. It would seem in this context that Judas Iscariot is or was one of this movement, zealot, to which belonged also Barabbas, to which belonged also the two, so to say, criminals or robbers who were crucified on either side of Jesus. So Judas quite probably belonged to this guerrilla movement, the freedom fighters, who thought that Jesus is the Messiah, come to redeem, come to liberate the people of Israel. And the liberation that they were speaking about, thinking about, was a political liberation, as it was in the time of Moses, who liberated the people from the slavery of Egypt politically and led them to the freedom of the kingdom in Israel. And people were waiting for a liberator like Moses, and even more, a liberator like King David, who fought the Philistines and threw them out and built up an empire and bequeathed that empire to his son Solomon and continued. So the people were somehow cherishing this dream of a great leader who would liberate, the messianic figure who would come and liberate the people from the slavery of Rome. So it would seem that Judas was somehow fired by this kind of a dream. And we have already seen that in a particular critical situation, when Jesus multiplied the bread and miraculously fed the crowd in the desert, then there was an uprise among the crowd, telling, "This is the prophet who is to come into this world." And Jesus knew that they were coming to take him by force and make him a king. Then he fled to the mountain. So there was a movement going on among the crowd to make Jesus the messianic king. And the disciples were also participating in this dream, it would seem. When they confessed, "You are the Messiah," they could think only of this political royal Messiah. So Judas seems to have taken up such a dream. And slowly, it would seem that he was disillusioned. We don't know exactly. We don't know exactly when things started changing. But if you read, if we continue to read the account of the Gospels, one particular incident stands out. That is 2 days before the Passion. That is reported by Matthew, Mark, and John. I read from the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 14, verses 3 and following. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. Mark doesn't say who is the one who made this comment and scolded. He doesn't say who was angry. "Someone," he said. But what happens immediately after this, in chapter 14, verse 10, Mark reports, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them." An incident somehow related. Mark is relating and Matthew is doing the same. After this episode of criticizing the woman for wasting, so to say, or in his concept, wasting the costly ointment on Jesus' head, Judas goes and plans, bargains to betray Jesus. He saw 300 denarii worth being wasted, and now he goes and sells his master for 30 pieces of silver. Now, we don't know from Mark alone that Judas was here involved, but John very clearly states it. In chapter 12, John reports the same incident of anointing at Bethany. And differing from Mark, John gives the name. In chapter 12, verse 4 and following, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?'" So it is Judas who is accusing. It is Judas who is making the calculation. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. John is revealing a particular characteristic trait of Judas. He was put in charge of the purse and he was helping himself with that purse. And now he is accusing the woman for wasting that money, wasting that precious ointment on the feet of Jesus. We will have occasion to analyze this incident in greater detail. What does it mean to anoint the feet with such a costly oil? But here it suffices to note that Judas is the person who accuses the woman for wasting the money. And then he goes on to bargain with the chief priest. Everybody says, all the Gospels say that Judas went and discussed with the high priest or chief priest and the leaders of Judaism how to betray Jesus. And they were happy. Some of the Gospels say he bargained with them, and other Gospels would say they promised to give them the price. Whatever it is, they promised, they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And the deal was closed. So Jesus is being betrayed by one of the disciples. The decision was made. And then all the Gospels also narrate the episode where Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was praying in the garden. And there Judas comes with the soldiers, the temple police, and he had given them their sign. The one whom I kiss, he is the man. Take him. And the Gospels tell us that he did kiss Jesus and Jesus was arrested. So this is the episode in mere facts, that Judas made an agreement with the leaders of Judaism and betrayed Jesus into their hands. But when Judas saw things were moving in a different direction or against his expectation, it is said that he went to the chief priest again. I read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 3 and followings. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is it to us? See to it yourself. Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money. After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. So the tragic end of Judas is reported by Matthew. It would seem that Judas had expected something else. Why did he, after all, betray Jesus? If he did not expect Jesus to be put on trial and killed, then why? Or if he had expected that these things would happen, then why did he change his mind? Something mysterious is taking place with this person. We don't know exactly what was in his mind when he handled the situation, when he bargained with the chief priest and decided to hand him over. Something mysterious. And this mysterious episode or character is somehow hinted at by two passages in the Gospels. First, Luke chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 13, there was an ominous saying. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Opportune is an interpretation. Akri kairu is the Greek word. Till the time. Till the appointed time. Not just an opportune time. Till the time appointed by God. So Satan had given Jesus an appointment in Jerusalem. According to Luke, the last temptation ends in Jerusalem. And it is there that Satan waits for him for the next trial or the next test. It would seem, at least redactionally speaking, Luke is telling us that Satan, who had given Jesus an appointment in Jerusalem, now starts the last and final test. That is through entering one of the apostles, like a wolf entering the sheepfold. The same thing is said by John in a different way. John chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, speak about the betrayal of Judas. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. Jesus loved the whole world, and it is time for him to go to the Father. He loved his own to the end. On the other hand, there is the other force opposed to God, devil, who puts into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. So both John and Luke are telling us of an evil force that entering Judas and motivating, forcing him to betray the master. This is the only person in the entire Bible where it is said the Satan entered a person. There are passages where demons enter persons, possession of by demons, but by Satan entering a person, nowhere else it is said. Satan can tempt a person, Satan can bind a person, make a person a slave, but entering a person, this is the only instance. And this might be what Jesus was warning the apostles at the Last Supper in chapter 22 of Luke, verse 31. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. Satan sifted all the apostles, and Judas fell victim to this. Jesus had warned them several times. At the Last Supper, Jesus gives him a particular place. When we read the account of John, it would seem that Judas was given the most prominent place at table. The importance of the person sitting at table is decided by the position to how near to the center the person is. At the center sits the host. And to the right of the host sits the most important person, and to the left, the second person. That's what John and James wanted, to sit at both sides, at the right and the left. Here it would seem, at the Last Supper, Judas is placed at the right-hand side of Jesus. Peter is sitting somewhere away. That's why he had to motion to the other apostle, John, who was right at the left-hand side of Jesus, reclining a table, and there, the next is Judas. So the very important place given to Judas. Now let us read from the account of John, chapter 13. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So Jesus is giving a piece of bread, and it's the most important portion, so to say, a sign of special love, a sign of special preference to the person sitting nearby. And this piece of bread was given to Judas. It was a sign for Judas, but others did not understand what it means. Jesus somehow protected the dignity and the secrecy. And then, after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. After he received the bread, Satan entered into him. The bread as a sign of love, as a sign of total giving of Jesus. And immediately after receiving this bread, Judas became the instrument of Satan. Satan entered. Luke said Satan entered Judas, and here John tells when it is explicitly happening. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are doing." Nobody knew what it meant, but Judas knew. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Walking away from light into the darkness, with Satan inside and the blessed bread inside, Judas walks into the darkness, becomes an enemy, becomes a betrayer. So this is not here where everything starts. It has started something much earlier. And John has given us an indication that comes in the context of a Eucharistic episode. John chapter 6 speaks about the multiplication of loaves and reports a long discussion, a teaching on the Eucharist, where Jesus promises to give his body and blood as food and drink. The disciples found it was too much for them, and there was dispute. And at the end, there is a saying of Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him. So it is there it all started. Lack of faith. Judas was an apostle. He had his own plans about Jesus and did not accept Jesus as the master. And finally, he ended up betraying the master. He confessed his sins, but not to the proper source. He was guilt-ridden, and he thought by ending his life, everything would be over. It was not. So the gradual fall of a disciple, apostle turned traitor, starts with the loss of faith, and then goes on to betray the master. And I think this is what happens very often in the church. Even today, the church is being hurt. The body of Jesus is being split and hurt, not only from outside, even more from inside. The disciples who betray him, that could be priests, that could be nuns, that could be even bishops and theologians. People who do not believe anymore. People who are not willing to take the cross and follow Jesus, but have their own ways. And Judas entered up miserably. In spite of Jesus' prayer, in spite of receiving the bread, in spite of receiving the special gift of apostleship, we pray that this does not happen to us. Let's conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to the discipleship of your Son. At the same time, we realize that there is a great risk that even the disciples of Jesus could be tempted and become instruments of the enemy of the kingdom, Satan. That Satan can enter the fold of Jesus and enter the hearts of the disciples and disturb the community and destroy the persons. Father, we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.